Welcome to Missionary Echoes, an outreach ministry of the Lebanon God's Missionary Church. I'm Pastor Joel, and it's so good to have you join us today.
Dare to run with our eyes fixed on Jesus, following the footsteps of the one who's gone before us. Dare to run in the power of His Spirit, called to be victors in a race already won. Dare to run. We must have our Savior's vision, compassion for the lost, courage for the future, love at any cost. Jesus, following the footsteps of the one who's gone before us. Dare to run in the power of His Spirit, called to be victors in a race already won. Dare to run.
Last week we aired the first part of a sermon by Duane Questenberry preached on November 2nd during our fall revival. The sermon focuses on the four altars that Abraham built as recorded for us in Scripture. In our program last week we heard about the first altar that Abraham built, an altar of reaching for God, and then from there the trouble that Abraham found in Egypt. As we break back into the message today, Reverend Questenberry is considering the second altar that Abraham built, the altar of returning to God. Here is Reverend Duane Questenberry.
Don't take little detours of doubting God and taking matters into your own hands. Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about this morning, but Abraham does it. And God, through protective grace, gets Abraham out of Egypt. And in the early verses of chapter 13, we read Abraham leaves Egypt and all that that represented. And he came back, it says, to the place where his tent had been at the beginning in Canaan, a place between Bethel and Ai. And here it says, Abraham calls on God, listen, at the same altar which he had built previously before he left and went to Egypt. He first built this altar in chapter 12, verse 8, when he had first arrived in Canaan. But after returning from a faithless trek to Egypt, he comes back to the same altar, the same place where Abraham had built the altar. And the Bible says there he worshiped the Lord again. Likely, there were some repairs that needed to be made. Would you not agree? The altar had been abandoned. It had been neglected. But when Abraham leaves Egypt, a place of doubt and disobedience, and he comes back to Canaan, a place of faith and obedience, he comes right back to this altar, and he doesn't build the altar again. He kind of rebuilds, he kind of repairs the altar, and here he calls on God. Let's call this altar now the altar of returning to God. He first built this altar and he reached for God, but then he left God. And now he comes back. And listen, if you go away from God, you'll have to come back to where you were. Amen. And when you get there, you'll call on God. You'll find He's there. He's faithful. He's waiting for you. But you'll need to build an altar of returning to God. I find it interesting. I don't know that, I think sometimes we preachers get a little in the weeds about names and definitions of names and what names mean, but I don't know. I'm just going to throw it out there. The location of this altar was between Bethel, which means the house of God, and Ai, which means the house of ruin. That's kind of where Abraham's been. He was with God, where God wanted him to be in Canaan. Then he goes down to Egypt, which was a place of ruin and destruction for him. And now he comes back and he builds an altar of returning to God. I don't ever want to preach where I'm just up here hollering at people. I know sometimes it seems like that, but the old clock's not my friend today, and I got to hurry. But I'm going to slow down just long enough to say, sir, are you living where God wants you to be today? If you and I could go to a coffee shop here and have a cup of coffee, and I could look across the table and say, as your friend, I just want to ask you, are you living right now, this Sunday morning, Are you living where God wants you to be? What about it, ma'am? Have you known better days in your relationship with God? Are you where God has called you to right now? This morning, you also, as others maybe come to build an altar of reaching for God, you can come back and repair that altar where you first reached for God, and you can build an altar, and you can call out to God in an altar of returning to God again. If you will, He will. I promise you. And you will be so glad. Aren't you tired of living defeated and miserable and fearful of eternity? Aren't you tired of the frustration and the anger in your life of knowing you're not who you ought to be? I will tell you this morning that by His grace, He will forgive you, restore you, renew you. You can build an altar of returning to God today. It's while living here that Abraham and Lot experienced their conflict. I talked about that. They separate. Lot goes towards Sodom. I think it's here where we start to see Abraham start to trust God, when he and Lot have to separate. There's tension between Lot's farm workers and Abraham's farm workers. There's not enough grazing land. There's not enough watering holes for all the flocks and herds they have. And Abraham says to Lot, let's don't have tension between us. We're relatives. So we need to separate because the land can't sustain us, so we're going to have to separate. And Abraham, the uncle, says to Lot, the nephew, you choose. And no human economy is it right for the uncle to say to the nephew, you choose. It's only right and fair that the uncle, the older, who's worked the hardest, who's provided probably what the nephew has much of, it's only fair that he say, I'll choose, and here's where I'm going, and you can have what's left. But Abraham is starting to live by faith. In this moment, he says, you pick. You know what the self-centered Lot does? The nephew, he picks the best. He chooses the well-watered plains of Jordan. Plains, good for grazing, well-watered, good for watering. He starts to go out that direction. God says to Abraham, after Lot's walking away, Abraham, lift up your eyes and look as far north as you can, as far south as you can, as far east and as far west. And everywhere you can see, it, incidentally, in one of those directions, his nephew Lot is going. But as far as you can see, I'm going to give it to you and your descendants forever. He's trusting God. He's got to a place where he said, I can't keep taking things into my own hands. I make a mess of it. And God, we can't live together, but I'm going to let him choose, and I'm going to trust you. And God does take care of him. So much so that when Lot gets over to Sodom and Gomorrah and they get attacked by a confederation of kings and armies, and Lot gets captured as a POW, and a bunch of other people do as well, Sodom and Gomorrah, and Abraham takes 300 armed men and goes out to fight a confederation of like four or five kings and their armies, and God gives them the victory, and they come back, and the king of Salem, or the king of Sodom, and the king Melchizedek come out to meet, and the king of Sodom says to Abraham, let me reward you for all that you've done. Do you remember what Abraham said? I mean, he was taking gifts from the Pharaoh of Egypt, and that caused problems. But he says to the king of Sodom, I don't need anything that you have. I won't even take a shoestring or a shoelace. I don't need anything. God will take care of me. He's trusting God. And so we come to this situation where Abraham is living. And after Lot leaves, the Bible says Abraham moves, still in the land of Canaan, he moves to a place called Hebron. He pitches his tent there and he lives there. He dwells there in Hebron. Remember what I said Hebron means the other night? A place of fellowship. A place of friendship. Abraham moves, and the Bible says that he moved to this place in Hebron and he built an altar there to the Lord. He gets to Hebron. The first thing he does is build an altar to the Lord in Hebron. Let's call this the altar of relating to God. That's where we want to live, isn't it? We want to live here. We want to live in Hebron. We want to live in fellowship with God. Oh, I want to tell you this morning, you can. You can know the joy of walking daily with Him. You can know the joy of having problems arise in your life and fears come into your soul, and you can say, I don't know how or what God's up to, but I know He's with me. I've proven it enough in the past, and I'm just going to live right here where God wants me. I'm going to live in a place of fellowship with God. Build an altar that you can keep relating with God. I have an altar in our apartment there in Cincinnati. It's in the corner of our kitchen and dining room. It's a little leather chair with a footstool, and there's a bun coffee maker over there on the counter, and I get the Bible and I get the coffee pot. And, well, I don't get the coffee pot. Sometimes I feel like I need the coffee pot, but I get a coffee cup and I go and sit in my little altar. It's not stone. It's a leather brown chair, but I sit there and I enjoy that time of relating with God, living in a place of fellowship with God. You don't have to wait until Sunday morning to go from where you're living to come here and connect with God. God knows your address. God knows your name. He will live with you, and you can live with Him, and you can build an altar today. You say, it's been a long time since I've really lived in a constant, abiding, continuing relationship with God. And this morning, preacher, if you'll give me a chance, I'd like to come and pray and say, Lord, I'm sorry for being inconsistent in my life. I want to build an altar where I relate to You, and I want to worship at that altar where I call on You, and I live in Hebron, a place of fellowship. Genesis 15 verse 1 says, after these things, after the events of Lot being rescued from captivity by the rogue kings, says the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision. He said, don't be afraid, Abram. I'm your shield, your exceeding great reward. And Abraham said, Lord God, what will You give me? I don't have any children. Abraham said in verse 3, look, You've given me no offspring. And the word of the Lord came to him saying, the one born in your house, your servant Eliezer, he's not going to be your heir. That's what Abraham said. Is Eliezer going to be the only heir I have to inherit? I want a child. No, he said, that's not going to be your heir. This one shall not be, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir. And then he brings Abraham outside in verse 5, and he says, look into heavens and count the stars if you can, because that's how many your descendants are going to be. And the Bible says here that against all the odds of Abraham being really old and Sarah being really old, it says that Abraham believed God, and God accounted it for. He said, God, I don't know how You can do this, but if You said it, I believe it. The only way we get to believing the incredible promises of God is by a daily life of walking with Him, where we get to develop this relationship with Him, where we say, you know what, I don't know how God could do that, but I trust Him, because He's got a track record that's really good. I trust Him. Abraham's there. He's living in the place of fellowship. Chapter 16, verse 1, Sarah, Abram's wife, had borne him no children. She had a maidservant. And so she brings her to Abraham, and Abraham had Ishmael with Hagar. But 25 years later, after the promise of a son, in Genesis chapter 21, we read, and the Lord visited Sarah as He had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as He had spoken. Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age at the set time of which God had spoken. God's clock was keeping perfect time. And Abraham called the name of his son Isaac. Now he has this son. Not a servant child, but he has a son, his own flesh and blood. He had waited for this. Now he has a son. And they're so happy. They're so joyful. I mean, grandparents are the best parents you could have, I would think, because anything my little grandkids want, they're pretty well going to get. Oh, Isaac, wow, what a blessing. But problem is, you can't send the kid. If it's your kid, you can't send them home. There's nowhere to send them. They're at home, so you can't, you know. Grandkids, you can send them home when you're tired, but you can't send the kid home. Then we come to Genesis 22:1. It came to pass after these things that God had tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, I like Abraham's response, here I am. Kind of have a conversational relationship, don't they? Abraham, yes, Lord, I'm right here. God says to him, I want you to take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and I want you to go to the land of Moriah. Abraham is following, okay. I want you to offer him there, okay, as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I will tell you. Throughout Abraham's life, from when he was in Ur, God has been giving him moments to step out of the comfort zone into the trust zone of a relationship with God. Abraham has learned to trust God, just like you and I are learning to trust God, that God is trustworthy, that we can do what God says even when we don't understand it. We can. And God has said, take your son and sacrifice him to me on an altar. Abraham has built altars. He has made sacrifices on these altars. He knows exactly what this will look like. That's what God says. The very next verse, Abraham rose early in the morning. He saddled his donkey and two of his young men with him. And he took Isaac, his son, and he took a bundle of wood for the burnt offering. And he arose and he went to the place which God had told him. He gets up and he starts out. And they're going. No one knows but Abraham, the father. No one knows but Abraham, the master, what's going on. On the third day, Abraham lifts up his eyes and he sees the place in the distance. And Abraham said to his servant men, you stay here. The lad and I and the donkey will go there. We will worship. And we will come back. I don't think he knows how. We are coming back. Every sacrifice he's ever offered before, it was a live animal placed on the altar. And when he walked away from the altar, it wasn't we. The animal stayed there. The slain, burnt animal stayed there. Abraham walked away, but not the animal. But Abraham, he doesn't know how, but he says, I just know this God. Oh, my friends, you can get to that place. I can get to that place. We will come again. So Abraham took the wood, laid it on Isaac, his son. He took the fire in his hand and he took a knife and they walked together. And as they're walking, his son says, Dad? Yes, son? I noticed something. We have wood for the fire, and you have the fire and you have the knife. But typically we've taken an animal with us to sacrifice. Where's the animal? Where's the ram? I can't imagine as a dad what that would feel like. I don't know. I don't know how it was. Abraham's a man of faith, but he's a human. He has a human heart. Was he choking back tears? Was he swallowing hard? I don't know. We don't have those emotions given to us here, but we do read what he said. My son, God will provide himself a lamb for the burnt offering. And so they go on. And then he came to the place of which God had told him, Mount Moriah. You know what Mount Moriah means? Moriah means the bitterness of the Lord. This is the hardest thing that God has ever asked of Abraham to do. And the Bible says that Abraham built an altar there. He builds another altar and he places the wood in order. He lays the knife on top of the altar. And he hasn't said anything at this point because he doesn't know what God is up to and he doesn't know how God's going to work this out. But now he turns to his son, and I don't know exactly the dialogue, the exchange between them, but there had to be some way in which he communicated to Isaac, I need you to get on this altar. Isaac, I love you more than my own life. You are the most valuable person your mom, you. You know, son, I wouldn't hurt you for anything. I've prayed so long for you. I have wanted you for so many years, and God blessed us with you. And I don't understand it, son, but God is asking me to give you back to him. And I don't understand that exactly, but he's God and I'm not. And son, I've learned that I can trust him. And I need you to trust me. Most believe that Isaac is old enough that if he wanted to resist, he could have. But we don't see that. I want to live in such a way that my kids will have a confidence in my God like Isaac had confidence in his dad's God. The Bible says that he places his son on the altar. And he stretched out his hand and he took the knife and he raises the knife at an altar of what I would call the altar of releasing to God. The altar of releasing to God what I want most, what is most important to me, what is most valuable to me, the thing that I say to myself, I can't live without that. God, anything you want, but don't ever ask me for that. And some of you are not living in relationship with God this morning because you have not. You've walked away from the altar of releasing. You've not given to God what he's asked for. And when we do that, it's because we don't know him. And if we know him, we would trust him, but we don't trust him. Abraham has gotten to a place where he believes God. You can live there where no matter what he asks. And he reaches and he takes the knife and he rears back to plunge it into the life of his, the body of his son. And Abraham hears the angel of the Lord call from him, Abraham, Abraham. Don't you know he was glad to hear a little interruption in the process, right? Abraham said, here I am, Lord, right here, Lord, right here. I'm here. Don't pass me by. Don't lay your hand on your son or do anything for him. Look at this next phrase. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Then Abraham lifted up his eyes and he looked, and behind him, caught in a thicket, was a ram caught by its horns. My friend John Manley was preaching one time at a Sunday morning service, Bible Methodist campground. I'd never forgotten this. I was in my own little valley of despair. And Brother John said, as he can preach so well, he said when Abraham and Isaac were trudging up that one slope of that mountainside, God was nudging the sacrificial ram up the other side. I will tell you, you can't see over on the other side. You don't know what God's providing for you. But if you will trust him, God's got it. When he calls you to build an altar of releasing to God, just do what he asks of you to do, because it will be so good if you walk in obedience and trust to God. They offered that ram there as a sacrifice, and Abraham, as they turned away, he said to his son, probably hugged him close, big smile, said, Isaac, this is called Mount Moriah, place of bitterness. Yeah, I know, Dad. I think we'll change the name of this place. We'll call it Jehovah Jireh, which means the Lord will provide. The Lord will provide. You can live the rest of your days. If you build an altar and release to God, you can live the rest of your days knowing that God will be faithful to provide. Hebrews 11:17 gives us this, some of the last verses in the Saints Hall of Fame about Abraham. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, in Isaac your seed shall be called. He concluded that God was able to raise Isaac up even from the dead, from which he really had already done, because Abraham and Sarah, this is what it says here, Abraham and Sarah were so old, they were as good as dead as far as having children. God had already done one miracle. And in Abraham's mind, he's thinking, God can do another one. Do you want to live in the place of miracles? Do you want to live where God is just blessing and showing himself strong on your behalf? I will tell you, it never happens in the comfort zone. It only happens in the trust zone, where we step out and we go where God's taken us, taken with us to offer what God has asked for, and we build an altar of releasing to God. And the last verse of the Bible that talks directly about Abraham is our verse that I began with this morning. The scripture was fulfilled, which says Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God because he built altars. Altars at pivotal moments in his life. He built an altar of reaching for God. Then he left and walked away from God because he didn't trust God. He went down to Egypt. He came back. He repaired that altar and he built an altar of returning to God. Then he moved to a place where he lived in fellowship with God, a place called Hebron, and he built an altar there. He lived in relationship. He built an altar of relating to God. And now while he was there, God gave him a son, and then God asked him to give that son back. And Abraham obeyed and built an altar of releasing to God. Jesus said, "You're my friends. You, like Abraham, can be a friend of God. If you do whatever God asks, from start to finish, the rise and fall of the success of my relationship with God is going to hinge on my willingness to repeatedly step out of the comfort zones of my life into the trust zone of a relationship with a loving, faithful God." This morning, I'm turning the service to the pastor. I've asked him just to conclude however he would believe is best. I trust the pastor's heart. But I would encourage you, whether it's here at this altar or at a personal altar, that you will build an altar to the Lord today.
Been listening to a sermon preached by Reverend Dwayne Questenberry during a revival service on November 2nd at the God's Missionary Church in Lebanon, Pennsylvania. If this sermon spoke to your heart and you'd like to talk with someone about where you are with God, call us at 717-273-3690 or send us an email at lebgmc@gmail.com. We'd be happy to talk with you on the phone or schedule a time when we could meet with you in person. We'd love to have you join us at 2127 Hill Street in Lebanon. Sunday school begins at 9:30 this morning, worship at 10:30, and 6 o'clock this evening. We also have a prayer and praise service on Wednesday nights at 7 o'clock p.m. Now next Sunday evening at 6 p.m., that's December 7th, the Penview Bible Institute Choir and Symphonic Ensemble is scheduled to share a service of special music. Then, on December 13th and 14th, our annual Christmas drama, titled White as Snow, will be shared in our Family Life Center. Again, that's on December 13th and 14th at 6 o'clock both evenings in our Family Life Center. For more information about this and other upcoming events, you can visit our website at lebanongmc.com, where you can also watch the services live. You can also follow us on social media. Look for Lebanon God's Missionary Church on Facebook or Instagram. Join us again next week for another edition of Missionary Echoes. I'm Pastor Joel, wishing you our Lord's blessing.